بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The last ruku of Surah Furqan, Allah Ta'ala speaks about Ibadur Rahman. So there's about 10 or 11 features of the Ibadur Rahman that Allah Ta'ala speaks about. We all gather here, and our purpose is that we become chosen in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Whatever it is, though we are broken down right till the core, but at some point we will like that Allah Ta'ala just accepts us. When they sell the grains, sometimes small little pebbles also are thrown in. So we are like that small little pebbles. We are not worthy of acceptance. But really Allah Ta'ala is worthy of accepting. And when He accepts, He accepts all. Right? When all have congregated at the door of a generous person, then he won't be selective. I'll only give this person. Just give. Take. All of you take. So at some point, we all like to be Ibadur Rahman, selected servants of Allah Ta'ala. But in this whole description, Allah Ta'ala speaks about two words. And if we can only digest these two words, we'll understand this entire passage. The first word is Ibad. So Allah Ta'ala wants abdiyat from you. Wants you to be recognizing Him. When you say abd, in other words, the one that will recognize Him. Liya'abudun, liya'arifun. So you are at a level where you need to gain the recognition of Allah Ta'ala. And when you have recognized Him, then you are prepared to be at any level. Then you are going to be choosy and selective. Rabbak, I want to be at this level, not at that level. Whichever level is taking you, you are accepting. So you're not questioning Allah Ta'ala, why like this and why not like this. So you said, you are saying to Allah Ta'ala that I want to gain your recognition. And you can't gain the recognition of Allah Ta'ala if you don't recognize yourself. You are made of dust, then become dust before you turn to dust. The quality of dust is, everything is agreeable to it. You jump upon it, it's agreeable. You build it, it's agreeable. You mess it, it's agreeable. Everything, whatever you do, it's taking it. In the stride, it's taking it. So whatever Allah Ta'ala does to you, you need to be in agreement. If He's given you prosperity, then in agreement. Adversity in agreement. He's given you respect and honor, then you're in agreement. He's given you illness and weakness, then you're in agreement. Allah Ta'ala, you make the decision and let me be happy with you. You will ask and beg Him for afiyat and ease. But thereafter, whatever He decides, then you will go with the flow. You go with the flow. That's the only flow that you will go with without questioning. Other flows that you can question, but the flow of Allah Ta'ala, you just go with it. Don't question, just go with it. So you will see, in time you will see the end. You will see the good in it. But just go with it. Just hold, be firm, be constant. Don't become wavery and don't become excited. If the flow of Allah Ta'ala is the current of Allah Ta'ala that's taking you, then let it be. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ عَبْدِيَتْ. So you're not selective, Allah Ta'ala, I'll worship you at this level. I'll serve you at that level. So the levels are secondary. It's Allah Ta'ala that is primary. It mustn't be the other way around, where we become the primary person, or our name becomes the primary thing. or our reputation becomes the primary thing and Allah Ta'ala becomes secondary. No. Primary is Allah Ta'ala. After that, the reputation, everything else, whatever has to come, will come in time. But Allah Ta'ala is primary. It's a wedding. Now Allah Ta'ala is the primary concern. Allah Pak is happy or not. And if Allah Ta'ala is not the primary concern, then the wife becomes the primary concern, the family becomes the primary concern, the reputation becomes the primary concern, that how do I need to do it, which hall, how should I do the deco, how should I do everything else. So that becomes the primary thing. So here Allah Ta'ala becomes the primary thing. My friendship with you also is the secondary thing. Allah Ta'ala is happy or not. I will befriend you because of Allah Ta'ala. Not because of you will I befriend Allah Ta'ala. It's the other way around. So you have understood your position. You have understood Allah Ta'ala. You have understood yourself, then you recognize Allah Ta'ala. You haven't understood yourself, then you will recognize Allah Ta'ala. So understand yourself. Apni qadar ko pehchano. Understand who you are first. Understand your beginning, understand your end, you've understood yourself. But understand it properly, correctly, not selective, not biased, not prejudiced. Understand yourself first, what you are. What you are, what you're made of, what's the composition like, what's the end like. Understand yourself. Repeatedly try and understand who you are. Then Allah Pak says, by His grace I've made you Ibadur Rahman, the slaves of the compassionate, the slaves of the gracious. So Allah Ta'ala could have said, Ibadul Qahhar, Ibadul Jabbar, right? The servants of the most mighty, the servants of the most powerful, right? He could have said that. But what he chose to say, Ibadul Rahman, the slaves of the most compassionate. So in all walks, in every aspect of your life, every dimension, you are reflecting mercy, you are reflecting compassion, you are reflecting consideration. You are reflecting the grace of Allah Ta'ala in anything and everything. This morning I was explaining to someone that the famous hadith that we hear quite commonly, three people got stuck into the cave and the whole entrance of the cave was blocked. And they made dua and Allah Ta'ala answered the dua and the whole cave opened out until they could come out freely and easily. But what was the common feature in all three? The common feature in all three was compassion. The one was compassionate towards his parents, right? Respectful and compassionate towards his parents. The other one was compassionate towards his laborer. I have worked it, I have sweated, never mind. A deed of compassion, kindness. I earned the money, I earned the flock for him, I earned that wealth for him so much. He was just entitled to a certain amount of wheat. And I converted it, I invested it. And I invested it. When I invested it, it became a big, huge wealth. With several animals, shepherds and everything that go with it. Let him have it, let him enjoy it. Act of compassion and mercy. So the first one towards the parents. The second one towards the worker. Act of compassion and mercy. And the third one also was an act of compassion, where he had hold of that girl. She needed that money, she was desperate. But she realized that this is going to be haram. She asked for the money, 100 dinars. And he made that 100 dinars, gold coins, available. Just then she said, but fi Allah Ta'ala. An act of compassion. For the sake of compassion and for the sake of the fear of Allah Ta'ala, I left that. And the whole thing just opened out until these people were all released. So you are reflecting the compassion and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala at any given time. And you are reflecting humility at any given time. Ibadur Rahman. So there will be two features that will be governing and regulating your life. One is compassion, one is humility. One is compassion, one is humility. They say that you put 10 faqirs, you know, 10 Allah wala, real Allah walas. They can all share one blanket. And you put two kings in one kingdom, they can't share it. Can they share it? They will fight to kill. They can't share it. And you have faqirs, why? Because, you know, he's better than me. He's better. He's a buzrug. He's a buzrug. So each one is pushing the other one in front. He's pushing him in front. So when each one is putting the other one in front, then they can be united. But ego says, no, I am something. I am something. He must recognize me. He must acknowledge me. He must identify with me. Can they be united? Can't. He can think the same. I say, you identify me. You say, well, who? What's so great about you? Why don't you identify with me? Recognize me. Why don't you recognize me then? So each one is demanding that self-respect. So can there be unity? Can't be. You talk of Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu, right? And when he hears about the strife and all in Medina, in Makkah Mukarrama, then he is living in Medina Munawwara and he is escaping into Makkah Mukarrama with the fear that they will appoint him as Khalifa. So he's running away for his life. And now, the run is towards the Khilafat. There's election. And in order to get it, I'll choke you, I will kill you, I'll do everything. Just to see that I get the seat. Right. So there's a reflection of both, of humility and reflection of compassion. At any given moment, any given time, reflection of humility, reflection of compassion. Remember, all our lives remember, that position is not the goal. The goal is the sifat that Allah Ta'ala is speaking about. It's not the position that Allah Ta'ala is asking you to chase after. What He's asking you, He's not asking you for the position. He's asking you, are you doing this? Or you have it very discreet in your mind that I will do this and then I will be pushed up to a certain position. And people will acknowledge me, they will respect me. Is that the whole catalyst? Or is the catalyst, am I at the standards of abdiyat? Am I at the standards of humility? The standards that Allah Ta'ala wants. Am I conforming or not? Am I agreeable or not? So the good and the excellent yardstick is the Sahaba-i Kiram. And thereafter, those that followed the Sahaba-i Kiram. That's a good yardstick. Those that were in conformity with the Sahaba-i Kiram, you see their lives from Alif to As-Salam, and they're in conformity, anything in conformity. Al-Mawla Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Shaykh al-Islam, they call him, right? Now look, some aspects of humility, just some aspects of humility in him. His father sets out to Medina Munawwara. He's from India, Faizabad, and he's migrating from India to Medina Munawwara. Father's instruction, so he's complying. He must all move. In Medina Munawwara, or before leaving, his ustad, Shaykh Ulindra Rahmatullah, tells him, whatever you do, see to it that you don't leave out teaching. You must see to it, you must ensure you must teach. Don't leave out teaching. When you have learned this, then the respect and the appreciation that you owe to it is you must teach. And if you don't teach, then whatever you have learned over the years, all will be lost, will be washed out. So your father has spent upon you, your elders have made that mehnat and that effort, and then you wash it down the drain, then it's really not being appreciative to your elders, to your teachers, to your parents, and all the difficulties that they have gone through. So you see to it that you teach. It was the system of the older people that you became a hafiz as well. Then you will see, all right, I can't give so much of time. At least half an hour, 1 hour I'll give. I will dedicate. I am a businessman. I am a professional person. But I am a hafiz. Allah Ta'ala has blessed me with the Quran. Let me dedicate half an hour, 1 hour at least to the teaching of the Quran. I will learn and I will teach. I will learn one person. I will listen to his door. Whatever it is. But as a mark of appreciation to one that has taught me, I must pass it on. That person will feel happy that, alhamdulillah, this man is appreciative of the gift that he carries. Hence he moved on to Medina Munawwara. Without exaggeration, he should be teaching approximately 18 to 19 periods in the day. 18 to 19 periods in the day. He used to cook the food himself for the children. All children, all are smaller than him. And his youngest brother would sometimes complain, not enough. So Murana will starve that day and pass on his share to his youngest brother. He is in the midst of his class. There are students that have flocked to him, to his dars, from all countries. from all countries, Russia, and you name the countries and their students, they're sitting at his dars. And whilst he's teaching a big kitab now, big people, ulama-i kirama in his dars. And his father instructs him, the building is carrying on, there's nobody on the site, we need some cement. So without a frown on the face, absolutely no frown on the face, with a cheer, my father's command, alhamdulillah, I'm blessed, I'm honored, my father has commanded me. And he goes out, that time they didn't have the barrows and all that, he's carrying it on his shoulder, going to the site, delivering what his father wants. Abdiyat. That I can't be choosy, I can't be selective. I am servant. A servant doesn't have his own, he doesn't have his own mind. He doesn't have a mind of his own. Although he's not a servant. You employ a servant, does he have a mind of his own? No. He can't have a mind of his own. Today you tell him, you pack up the stuff here, he packs it up. Tomorrow you say, serve the customer, you must serve the customer. That's a servant. That's a worker. But he's being selective, then he's not a worker. And you are a servant, you are a slave of Allah Ta'ala, so you can't be selective that I want to work only on this position, not at this position. Then you can't call yourself an Ibadur Rahman. You don't fall into that category. So whichever position Allah Pak is elevating you or taking you, you are prepared. Allah Pak is your command. Right? Now look at this same Hadhrat Husayn Ahmad Madani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. He is coming at the Rose Mubarak, and he's conveying his salam because his Sayyid is coming from the family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there's several pious people that are there, the old haram I'm talking of. And they all hear the answer coming clearly, Wa alaykum as-salam ya waladi. My dear son, and Allah Ta'ala salams upon you as well. He's delivering a lesson. He's delivering a lesson. Right? In the midst of the lesson now, the students are asking, and students are required to be open with the Ustad. Any question you've got, you ask, provided it's related to the lesson, not unrelated things. We're speaking about wuzu, then speak about wuzu. Then don't talk about history. Ottoman Empire, don't speak about that then. Yes, if you speak about the Ottoman Empire, then you speak about Ottoman Empire, but not unrelated things. Speak about things that are related. So they are speaking about Hayatun Nabi and Nabi Sallam being alive, as well as the Anbiya alayhi salam being alive in the graves. While I'm explaining them, someone is cross-questioning. And again, counter-answering. While I looked towards the Rosa Mubarak, just once, and the whole Rosa Mubarak had cleared up, there was a chair, and Nabi Sallam was sitting there in person. The students are watching. Ab to itminan ho gaya, now do you people believe? He said, yes. Now, on the one side, this is his maqam. Now look at his humility. You see, servants of the most gracious, what humility they will reflect. He's traveling in a train. Normally, Abu Zughanuddin will travel in the third class. They enjoy it. They enjoy sitting with the poor, the destitute. They would like it. They would enjoy it. So there's a Hindu that is sitting next to him, seems to be a little bit richer class or more noble class, and he has the urge to go to the toilet. And he's hardly there, in 1 minute's time he's back. So Mona understood, ho na ho, the toilet must be in a state. This man I can see is clean, he's neat, tidy, etc. He saw that, so he got a constipation. Everything was stuck, got jammed up. So Mona says, alright. He went into the toilet, pulled out his kurta, lifted up his pants, all the papers and dirt and all that he had around, with his own Mubarak hands, being the grandchild of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? But the aspect of humility, aspect of compassion, both are combined, married in this whole incident. Humility and compassion. And compassion not just to a Muslim only, but a non-Muslim as well. He goes and spick and span, crisp, clean, clear, spotless. And then he comes up and says, Saab, ab toh sahi ho gaya hai. And not as though he's done it. Main ho kar ke aaya hun. I've just been there, it's clean now. As though the train staff, someone has done it. Man goes, is relieved. You see, on the one end, the dedication, the commitment, the respect that he gets. But then there's a balance. The more you will push the seesaw, the higher you will be elevated. The one end has to be pushed down for the other end to be elevated. But you want to be high there, and you want to be elevated, then it doesn't work. Ibadur Rahman. See, when you talk of Ibadur Rahman, then they have to reflect both compassion and humility. Compassion and humility all the time. Compassion and humility. What's the levels? Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahib is delivering a lesson, right? In Dioban. He's got a small class like ours now. The whole madrasa is like his class. And there are students that are coming from all places. When they come to Dioban, they already been, many of them are already qualified. And they already Shaykhul Hadith. Just to get the sanad from him, they'll come to Dioban. One person in all that crowd, he writes up a letter. Hazrat, I hear you are an illegitimate. Imagine now, in front of all your students, and one person has to stand up and say this. So you say, yeah, you got an attitude, huh? Yeah, you have a malicious intent. So now, he's totally composed, clean, smile on the face. He read the letter. I'll read the letter out also to the students. And he says, I think you're misinformed. The witnesses of my parents' wedding are still around. They're still living. You can go and investigate in this town, and that town, and that town. You can find all of them. And he continued the lesson. No frown, no big deal, nothing about it. Now, who can do such a thing? He must be an ocean to be able to do it. You know, if you are just a liter, right, and someone puts 1 teaspoon of urine, say, hey, you messed it up now. But you're an ocean, you empty the whole sewage there, say, hey, right, we'll digest it, we'll finish it up. In 2 days, we'll clean you up. So that's an ocean. That's an ocean. In reality, without any exaggeration, they are oceans. Without any exaggeration. Ibadur Rahman. You see these people? Ibadur Rahman. Servants of the compassionate. Servants of the most merciful. So Allah Pak chooses this word that the compassion and humility must be reflecting in you all at any given time. Any work that is given to you, assigned to you, you are prepared to do it. I am the servant of the compassionate. And it's an honor for me to be serving Him at any level. At any level to be serving Allah Ta'ala. It's an honor. It's a privilege. I had the honor of doing this. Even if it seems to be most menial. But I'm the servant, I'm the slave of the most compassionate. He has blessed me with this honor to do this today. Alhamdulillah. I'm honored for that. الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. So the first sifat, the first description of this whole class, it's a class of their own. When they walk upon the earth, they walk softly. يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. We want to be classed amongst them, don't we? Then we need to see that, are we conforming? This is the standard, the Quran is the standard. What we need to ensure, are we conforming or not conforming? Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, they call him Masnadul Hind. If anybody is learning the science of Hadith, then he is going through the Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. The chain of narrators and the chain of reporters are all coming connected to the Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Masnadul Hind. So you have to pass him, you can't bypass him. Now, if he was so great, then what was his father? That was his teacher. His father was his instructor. What was his father like? Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. He was such a high person that the king of the time, Alamgir Aurangzeb Rahmatullah Alayh, he instructed him, you must be the head of the ulama-i-kiram to prepare this kitab, Alamgiri, Fatawa Alamgiri. So you can imagine now what a level of an alim he must have been. 500 ulama member delegation, they must prepare that kitab. It's already 300 years, that kitab is still running strong. Anyway, India or Arabian countries, the kitab is holding. So what a level of an alim he must be to be of that class, that he's appointed as the head of that whole delegation. So he sees a cat or a dog, perhaps it was a dog, and that was shivering in the cold. It's messed up, it's shivering in the cold, right? So nobody to take care of it, he picked it up in his arms, washed the thing, had some wounds and all that. He looked after the wounds, gave it some warmth until it became strong and moved away. Anyway, now, after some years or so, he's put his new clothes, ithar, etc., and is proceeding towards Jummah. Now there's a narrow strip between a stream, there's a narrow strip. He has to go over it. A strip that is so narrow that only one person can, with difficulty, cross through. So he's coming from the one end, and there's a door coming from the other end. Who are we talking of? Hazrat Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib, Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah's father. What we're trying to impress upon is Ibadur Rahman. Slave is such a beautiful name. Allah Pak, let this name stick in our minds. If we didn't learn anything else, Ibadur Rahman. Allah Pak, make us the Ibadur Rahman. So now, they are stuck up right in between, as though they are communicating. Buzurganadin, Allah Pak allows them to communicate whichever way they're communicating. So he is asking the dog that you jump off. And notwithstanding that below is just sewage, absolute dirty, black slime. And the dog is saying, so what's so great about you that you can't jump off? He's telling the dog, you jump into the sewage. So the dog is replying, but what's so great about you that you can't jump? So he says, no, I know that I am not greater than you in any way. I'm not more significant than you in any way. But Allah Ta'ala, I am under His obligation. I am under obligation, divine obligation, I need to perform namaz. And for the namaz to be valid, I need to be clean. And you are under no obligation. If you jump, right, and you come out into the sun, in 1 hour's time you'll be clean, you'll be parked again, right? I'm under divine obligation, I need to go in a park state to the masjid and execute this obligation. So the dog then says, well, if this is the case, then it's alright. But remember, if there's an iota of pride in you, that you consider me contemptible because of me being a dog, and you being a human being, then let alone one bucket of water, even all the waters of the ocean, if they were to wash you down, you wouldn't become park. If there's an iota of pride in you, that you feel that you are superior and I am contemptible because of being a dog, then remember, all the water of the oceans, if all were put together to bathe you down, to wash you down, they won't be able to wash you down and purify you. Anyway, when Shah Sahib heard this from this dog, he jumped, he was over the moon. He was so delighted that this is a great lesson that I have learned today. And in that happiness, he jumped down to the sewage that the dog passed through. But anyway, after some time, when he cleaned himself, washed himself and all that, went to the masjid, then he thinks to himself, but Allah Pak, you blessed me with such divine knowledge today. On account of what did you bless me with this knowledge? So it came to his heart, you see, you have done some act of kindness to its species. So we wanted you to be rewarded also by this same species. We wanted to bless you with the same species because you had done some kindness and we wanted that thing to reward you for what you have done for its kind. But again, you see the same two aspects, one of compassion and one of humility. See, compassion and humility, Ibadur Rahman. الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَوْا. And they walk upon the earth, they walk softly upon the earth. Softly upon the earth means, not that it's a deliberate attempt to walk very, very softly to express one's greatness or to express one's piety and righteousness and virtue walking. But Umar radiallahu anhu used to walk swiftly. He saw one youngster walking very, very softly. So he picked up his whip. What's wrong? Are you sick? Then why aren't you walking briskly? You need to walk briskly. What is showing the modesty in the walk. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi used to walk as though كَأَنَّمَا يَنْصَبُّ, as though he's going forward. You know, when a person is coming down a hill, an incline, right? Or he's got a walking stick, there will be a little bit of a incline. You know, he'll be a little bit bent. So his walk was like a little bit bent. Not a haughty walk. One is a haughty soldier's walk, marching. And one is a person that is humble, how he walks, naturally. إِذَا الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. Then the second feature, we spoke about already three features. Ibadur Rahman, Alladheena Yamshuna Al-Ard. So we want to see that we comply, conform to the standard. This type of a talk is not just a talk, it is a medication, right? We all have got weaknesses, and the weaknesses require that we take the cure for it, we take the medication for it, right? And the medication here comes with reflection. It doesn't just come like that. We just heard a talk and then we forgot about the whole thing. Now with careful examination, how do we apply this thing? I can see I'm falling off here, I'm weak here, I'm not doing the right thing here. How do I go about doing it? Hazrat Madani Sahib Rahmatullah was held in such esteem and respect. Hazrat Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah used to say about Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah Alayhi, that if he was not appointed by Allah Ta'ala for the work that he was doing, then he would have done my work. And if I have been appointed for the work that he is doing, then he would have been doing my work. So both of us have been appointed. But if they were sitting in a gathering, then Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah would show him superiority, would hold him in esteem. So he wasn't just an ordinary person. We think that he was an ordinary person. Now look at the contemporaries, the awliya of the time, and in what esteem they had held him. So I explained these three qualities. Ibadur Rahman and Yamshuna al-Ard. Now the third was, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And when people address them in an ignorant fashion, then they say words to respectfully avoid problems. I'm just giving you an explanation of the tafsir. I'm just giving the explanation of the tafsir. People may not be uneducated. They may be educated people, but he's acting and he's behaving in an ignorant style. So when he's behaving in an ignorant way, do you behave with him with ignorance? Or what is going to be your response? How are you going to respond? You know, a few days back, I was going out of Spingo Beach. So I see a taxi and I see a car. Perhaps the taxi must have miscalculated something. But the person of the car got really angry. He got really angry. And he came out ranting and raving, and he's charging the taxi person. And the taxi man, this person seems to be an educated person, you know, from his dress, all the car and all that, you can see now he's an educated person. And this taxi man, very gently, he just took a turn and he moved away, avoided the whole thing. I said, this man is not educated, but he's intelligent, definitely. He's not educated, but definitely he's intelligent. He avoided the confrontation. And how many things he saved himself from? He's a taxi man, so these people are strong enough, and they carry things with them. But he avoided himself from so many complications. So many complications he saved himself from. You know, I began to analyze in my mind, okay, he saved himself from about 5 problems. Had he confronted that situation, it would have been an hour or two, right? Now, that's losing money. It doesn't make business sense. If he's making 1,000 rand in an hour, so he's lost 1,000 rand for 1 hour, 2,000 rand for 2 hours, he has lost it out. Now, he avoided the trouble, so he got his money. He just diverted a little bit and moved on, carried on his road. That man is still jumping and shouting. So he made a clown of himself, right? And this man gently moved on, as though nothing happened, right? He gained the confidence of his passengers, number 2. The passenger will say, now this man is a man of respect, he's a man of nobility, he's a man of principle. See, he avoided trouble and he moved on, gently moved on. So when we need to take a taxi, take this man's taxi. So business sense is making. He avoided the whole thing, he avoided. Number 3, had he lost himself, right? And he could have carried out things. And that man could have carried things, and he may have hurt that person, they may have hurt that person. It becomes a police issue, becomes a court case, right? So he avoided that as well, right? Number 4, right? It could have brought a little bit of uneasiness and unrest in him, frustration, even if he had just verbal, right? So if there is an unrest, and there is that uneasiness in your mind, right, in the business, you have to go and offload it somewhere, right? In the masjid, you have to offload it. Someone must just stamp your toes in the masjid. And if you can't do it in a masjid, then at home, someone is going to catch it. Right? Because it's a load now. That frustration, what is frustration? It's a load, it's a build-up. And when it's a build-up, it has to be offloaded. You can't just keep it on there. So someone will just come. You must just snap. You must just say one word out of the way. And then you'll give him everything. His whole history you'll give it to him. Right? You'll just snap and you'll give it to him everything. From Alif to Salam. Yeah, you were like this. And as a child you did this. And you know what, I favored you like this. And I did this to you. And you know, you were always a failure in your life. So the Walif to Wasalam, all his problems, you'll line it out to him. Right. So he didn't lose it, right? Number five, the main recipients of his cheer and joy is his family and his children. They are striving for him, they are struggling for him, they are happy for him. Now he's coming as a cool, composed, sensible, respectable man at home. So they are seeing him with cheer, happiness. He is happy to see them, they are happy to see him. Radiyatan mardiya. You are happy and they happy. Isn't it a good scene that your family, your children, your folks all happy with you and you happy with them? You have got no malice, no ill feelings, no grudgy feelings in your heart for them, and they have no grudgy feelings for you. They are happy to meet you, they are happy to see you. You long to meet them and they long to meet you. That means your slogging, your striving for the day was worth the while. And you come in with happiness and they meet you with happiness. Do you see that? A little bit of calmness, a little bit of composition, a little bit of just being able to control yourself. So I calculated this whole thing and I said, hey, this man was intelligent. That man must have been educated. But this man really was intelligent. He knew how to maneuver. He knew how to maneuver himself. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا السَّلَامَ. So when any ignorant person is, he doesn't have to be ignorant, he can be an educated person, but he's conducting himself like an ignorant fool. What do? You try and avoid the trouble with respect, with dignity, you try and avoid the whole trouble. Just don't invite that confrontation. We feel, no, I must take it head on. And thereafter, you take it head on, then we feel it's easy. If you try and do it, take it head on and see what happens. It causes more and more agony, grief, frustration, fights, the malice. No, and then for that moment, and you will calm yourself as well. And you will say, you know, no, I gave him a piece of my mind. I told him what I needed to tell him. He was going too far now. So I put him in his place. And after that, the whole masjid will say, ah, this man, you know, he comes to the masjid. We just stay out of his way, man. We rather just stay out of his way. We don't do it near him. The whole masjid, your home, people will not feel comfortable with you. The masjid won't feel comfortable about you. And the other way is, you know, this man here, he is a gentleman. He stays out of trouble. There's no problems. If there's a problem also, he'll try and calm it. He won't incite. He won't provoke. Unfortunately, this is another problem. When there's a problem out, we try and provoke. We try and incite. Yeah, go and do this. He had no business to do this to you. You know, he had no business to do it to you. You must go and put him in his place. So we incite the problem. He said, oh, but it's a problem now. Maybe he just lost himself. We calm this person, we calm that person. Again, they are brothers and they're moving on. So it's easier to reconcile. It's easier to patch up than to say, no, I must put him in his place. You will put him in his place. Tomorrow he'll put you in his place. Put you in your place. If he's not you, then he'll put your child in his place. So Allah Pak has covered your mistake, you cover others' mistakes. You don't try to work and to put people in their places. Think about it, that you had also a lot of mistakes, a lot of weaknesses, a lot of problems. You think about yourself from the age of 13, 14, right? And you knew yourself, right? From that day till now, today, right? Say it's 13 years, say it's 15 years, say it's 40 years. But there may have been a lot of mistakes in you. And those mistakes Allah Ta'ala covered. Right, whether you looked at something that you're not supposed to be looking, whether you said something that you were not supposed to be saying, whether you were fantasizing on things that you were not supposed to be fantasizing, whether you behaved in an incorrect way. So all those things Allah Ta'ala had covered you. He had concealed all your problems. So don't you have the right also to conceal other people's faults? Is it not your duty to conceal others? Or you feel that you use something special, that you can just splash around people's mistakes, but your mistakes must also all be concealed on the wrong end. It's not the way of the pious, Ibadur Rahman. إِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا السَّلَامَ. You know, you just read this verse, you just feel like moving from one end to the other end. How beautiful it was when he just lines it up. إِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Just to illustrate this, insolent to illustrate this and to make our minds work correctly. See, what's happening today is we have got the decor, you know, just the finish outside, the image. What we are worried about is the decor. Anything, whether it's Islam or whether it's or weddings, whatever, the decor, the presentation, the reputation, the looks. We all are concerned about that, the looks, how we look, what's the decor like, what's the presentation like, what's the impression like. So we all concerned about that. But are we concerned of the heart? Is the heart right? It's like that egg, right? The shell is very good, but it's rotten within. So the thing that's within is more important than the shell. The shell is important. Like, I don't want a dirty shell now. I don't want a smelly shell. But really, the more important thing is the inner. It's not the outer. Now, we have lost the plot when we are so concerned going for a proposal in the outer. Hey, she must be like, but whether she is rotten inside or not, we are not worried about it. Our behavior, though, we must present ourselves, we must use the right type of words. But whether we are rotten from within or not, nobody is concerned. Whether it's rotten inside, we're not concerned. So the greater Islam lays importance upon the external self. But the greater and the more important thing is what's within. Like the egg, what's within that's more important than just the external self.